Chapter 1. The image was not what it seemed, but the pain was undeniable. It hit him like the opposite of what he imagined hyperspace was like. A blinding white light streaked with black flames shooting directly into his eyes. Even with his lids shut, Carr could feel it burning his retinas. Had he not known better, he would have blamed it on a flaw in the lenses of the Stormtrooper helmet he'd recently bought. Death Star era. Slight carbon scoring, 7.5 grade level in the antique military guide, but otherwise not a bad purchase for 57 credits. Unless, of course, it was responsible for the pain. But he knew that wasn't the case. Not even brand new lenses could protect him from this agony. As the pain bored into his eye sockets, he recalled a warning a pilot gave him once about never staring directly into a double-haloed Tatooine eclipse. Good advice, he thought as he began to lose consciousness. Only he wasn't entering Tatooine airspace. He was entering the Force.
Are you okay?
Carr heard someone ask in a tinny voice. Actually, it probably wasn't a tinny voice, but rather a damaged speaker in the Stormtrooper helmet. Maybe 7.5 wasn't an accurate grade for the piece of junk after all. Carr was lying on his back. The floor was cold, but his face was hot.
What are you wearing?
This time he could tell the voice belonged to a woman, but he thought that was an odd follow-up question. Usually, when people came across him passed out on the floor, they'd ask him if he knew his name. Karnuk Sin, he mumbled out of habit, realizing only a hair too late that wasn't the question she had asked him.
What are you wearing?
She asked again slowly, sounding more annoyed. Green cargo pants, blue flight jacket, desert boots, black gloves, and a newly acquired Death Star-era Stormtrooper helmet. Grade level 7. He stopped himself in light of the new information and reevaluated. 6.9.
You need to take it off. Now.
Her voice sounded like coins and static through the helmet, but yes, it was definitely a woman. Probably a teacher.
School policy prohibits any student from carrying a weapon or wearing military paraphernalia,
she added, probably quoting some passage from the Code of Conduct. Carr wouldn't know. He'd never read it. He struggled to his feet and searched the floor for the black glove that always landed nearby after one of his episodes. He found it and used it to salute her. No military paraphernalia present, sir.
Except for the helmet?
She ignored the incorrect address and took the glove from his hand to inspect it. The helmet is an artifact, sir. Now he was pushing it. Namala Moffat sighed.
Just take it off.
He pulled the helmet loose with a soft pop. Now she could see him for what he really was. A brown-haired, brown-eyed kid with a chipped tooth to go along with the chip on his shoulder.
Where'd you get that?
She asked. I got it from Janu Blen. His great-grandfather was a service fueler in the Empire, Carr told her. Stormtrooper, third class. Moffat frowned.
That boy's shyer than a Snivian at a market auction. He told you all that?
Carr just smiled.
In a way.
In the years since his unusual abilities had surfaced, no doctor, human or droid, had been able to explain them. Episodes of blinding light and searing pain weren't exactly coveted abilities, but the images that accompanied those things were pretty cool, most of the time, if he remembered them when he came to. Carr didn't feel like explaining all that to the teacher, so he didn't. The truth was that, yes, Janu Blen was incredibly shy, but he was also stubborn. It had taken Carr 5 whole days to convince Janu to sell him the trooper helmet after he overheard the boy relay some family lore about how his great-grandfather claimed to have had his